Please come sit here in the front, right here. Yeah, thanks, Joel. For some of you, I don't know if some of you don't know what the word testimony means. It's literally just seeing something of God, being convinced of it, and is willing to share it to someone else. So these volunteers are willing to share something that God has done in their lives through this year, whenever. And yeah, they're willing to share that with us, and I really think it's significant. So please just give them a hand. Lekker, guys. So first up, we have Lekker. Let's go.
Hi guys, I'm Hannah, if you didn't know her. Can I just say that we serve a living God, and that is just incredible, and that He's active in our lives. I think this whole year, God's really highlighted that to me, and just how when we press into God, He comes closer and closer to us. Not that He's not close to us, because He's always there, but just our outlook on God just becomes so much bigger, and we want to involve Him in so many like other things and just every aspect of our lives. So I have a couple like short little things to share. I just want to put that there. No, it's fine, Joel. Thanks. Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you, Joel. Oh, okay, coming closer, all up and close and personal. Anyway, yeah, so just a cool thing, I wrote it down on the day, it was the 23rd of August, 2019, just during worship at a youth, I was just worshiping, and I felt God say, kneel before your king, and I was like, yeah, sure, God, you know, whatever you say, so I knelt, and I was just crying, and, you know, just really feeling God wash over me, and then I felt a kiss on my forehead, and like that whole area just like heated up, and it was absolutely incredible. I mean, God kissed me, guys. Woo! Yeah, so that was just a really special moment. And then another thing, on the 3rd of September, I felt like this really sharp pain like throughout the day in my neck, like the whole day it was like intense pain, anyway, and then I was just like opening the fridge to get something to eat or whatever, and I just thought, you know, why have I not prayed for this, you know, because I mean, hello, anyway, so I put my hand on my neck and I prayed and the pain lessened, but it was still there, so then I prayed again, and it had lessened more. And then the third time I prayed, the pain was completely gone, and it was just really cool. But yeah, woo, go Jesus. yeah, but just such a cool thing is I could have gone like the whole day without having the pain, you know, just so it kind of made me realize, you know, we should always go to God first and always have Him in like the front thoughts of our mind. Yeah. And then, I used two different notebooks. Okay. And then this was a quiet time on the camp. It's a cross-connection camp. Anyway, so I was sitting there and I looked at the mountains and it just reminded me how, you know, powerful our God is, and He can make these like huge things. And then, you know, I looked next to me and saw these beautiful, intricate flowers, and just how God, you know, is gentle and loving, and yeah. And then I looked at the grass and then like marveled at the depth of detail that God goes in, and I just felt Him saying, yeah, sure, He knows like the big things that are happening in our life, like the mountains and all that, but He also knows the details and everything about us. And even though we're so small, so inferior to Him, He still sees us as His children. Yeah, so I just felt that was super cool. And then during worship on the same camp, it was really cool because I hadn't really had seen like, not a, like a vision. I saw a vision, which was really cool. Anyway, it was, I was just asking God to like show me something cool, like, you know, something I can share and all that. And then it was just a cool personal moment. It was only me in like the center of the hall where we were worshiping. And then God had reached his hand like down from the roof. And then I was just inside of his palm and he was just like cradling me. And it was very cool that, you know, like I said, we're so inferior, but yet he wants to cradle us and he wants to be with us. So, yeah.
All right, next we have Ethan.
Okay, so I got no notes because it's just in my head. But this year has been like a roller coaster for me. Because in the beginning of the year, I was really suffering and dealing with a lot of mental and like emotional stuff that wasn't really nice. And like I went through the year struggling for most of the year until like a few weeks ago where I was prayed for all this stuff and then like it kind of left but it was still there and I just like kind of felt like I needed to just act like it wasn't there and it was working but not working because like other people thought that I was good but I knew I wasn't that good and then I carried on like that for a while and then over this last camp that we went on like a few weeks ago Grant Baker came and he spoke about the demons in our lives and stuff like that and he said if you feel like you have a demon in your life put your hand on your head and then I'm going to come pray for you and as soon as he said that I started crying like I was just like crying and I never cry because I don't know I just don't cry and so I started crying and then I put my hand on my head and then he came and prayed for me and as soon as he did that I just felt it leave like I felt it leave. And I just felt happy. Like, I felt the Lord speaking to me, and I felt, like, really happy for the first time in a long time. And after that, now I just have, like, an amazing, like, I have quiet time in the morning, and I hear God all the time. Like, previously, I didn't hear God. Like, I did hear God, but in certain situations. But now it's, like, when I'm by myself, and I'm busy in my quiet times, I'm hearing God all the time. And I'm just, like, he's ministering to me and actually teaching me the word and stuff like that and it's just been crazy to just feel happy and not to have to fake and also just like to hear him and that feel his presence all the time just like know that he's always next to me and just always being with me I guess and that's just been amazing over this camp and stuff yeah that's my testimony.
Yeah, thanks Ethan. And who's next? Leah.
Hello, everyone. I'm Leah. just as a quick backstory, so I live with my mom and my sister in Markbos with my granny and my opa. And when I was very little, my mom and my dad split. So I'd just like to testify how God has been teaching me that he is my heavenly father. So a couple months ago, I really wanted a puppy, and my mom said that if I want a puppy, I have to fully financially support it. So so I baked cakes to earn money for my puppy, and I felt the Lord saying to give the cakes and not to like get money for them. So that was really hard because I knew that his injections were coming up, and I needed money for the injections. So it was hard to give and not knowing where I'm going to then get that income from. So I just turned to him and I was like, yeah, Lord, you know what I need. I just pray that you'll help me to, like, support him, my puppy. and then a couple months ago at church, this lady came up to me and she said, yeah, I just feel the Lord wants me to give you this, and it was the exact amount for his vaccinations. So praise the Lord. So I realized in that time that God is my Heavenly Father, and He's interested in every part of my life, and that He hears my prayers and my thoughts, and I'm just learning to trust Him in every area of my life. So yeah, thanks.
All right, next, Mr. Joel. Oh, okay.
I hope I sound okay, because, like, you know, when you do a voice recording and then you play it over and you're like, man, is that what I sound like? Jeez. So I'm just going to talk about the relationship with my father, not my heavenly father, my earthly father, and then how it kind of relates to my father in heaven. So before I had a breakthrough with my father, you know, you get born and everything, and then you obviously love your father, but then you kind of drift away. But you drift away because... you know, he does these things, and he doesn't realize he's doing these things, but you obviously feel them because you're a child and you have a different mindset. So it would be like things, you know, when you say to your wife, your kids did this or your kids did that, the way that you sort of interpret it is like, don't you have to take pride, or don't you love me enough to call me your son? And then because you hear this, you build walls, and then you invite spirits into your life to sort of, to protect these walls and to protect you. And then when something small happens that was similar to this thing that hurt you a lot, it hurts a lot more than it should, obviously, because of these spirits and because of the thing that hurt you in the start. So what happened on the camp, the one that we had recently, like 2-3 weeks ago, Grant, he came to pray for us, and he came to pray for us individually. And then he told me about my relationship with my father, and that it wasn't that strong. So I was like, okay, I don't know what he's talking about, because it's like you don't feel like there's something there, because these walls, and you've buried this thing for so long that it's like you think it's the norm, if you know what I mean. It's like, okay, it's natural. All of my friends are doing this. They don't have a good relationship with their fathers. But it's totally not true. And you think about your heavenly father, and it's like, man, I really want that relationship with my father. And it's like, yeah. And then he prayed for me, and I had breakthrough, and I got deliverance from rebellion and the spirit of anger and stuff like that, and hate. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, I feel like a lot of Christians, they get deliverance and things, but they don't go to the source of that problem, the root of that problem. So it was very important to me after the thing to go to my dad. I'm sorry, it's very emotional for me. I went to my dad afterwards, and I spoke to him about, like, what he did to me, and, you know, how about the things that I did to him, about how it affected me and stuff like that. And what happens is it kind of breaks down those walls and breaks down that spirit and stuff, and it kind of makes it go away. And then just to finish off, lately I've been having quiet time with my sister, and I've been praying a lot more, and I've been worshipping to my heart's content. So, yeah, that's been pretty cool. Okay, thank you.
Next level. Yada.
So, basically, like, a few months ago, I had, like, a really good relationship with God. Like, it was so good. We were, like, dancing my room. Like, I could, like, feel he was there, which is, like, really cool, because obviously you can't see God. So, like, I could feel he was there. But then, like, I started, like, seeking acceptance from other people and, like, basing my worth on what they said and stuff. And then, obviously, my relationship with God, like, got really bad, because, like, I didn't have any quiet time or anything. And then... yeah, I was, like, really insecure. And then someone, like, said to me, like, not in a rude way, but they said, like, you know, it really looks like you don't have any insecurities, which was, like, really shocking, because, like, you know. And then that was kind of nice to hear in a way, because I was like, okay, well, no one knows, so, like, I can just, you know, carry on. And then, like, the camp was coming up, so I was, like, really excited, because I thought it would be, like, breakthrough for me and stuff, which it was. And then on that Saturday night, I was, like, worshipping, and obviously I hadn't, like, cried in worship in a long time, because I was so, like, empty and stuff. And then I, like, saw everyone else crying, and I was like, oh, I really want to get that. And then, like, as soon as I, like, asked God to get that, I, like, fell on my knees, and I was, like, sobbing and sobbing. And I never, like, was able to put a label on what I was feeling and stuff, but then I realized, like, that I need to stop basing my worth on what other people say. And then, yeah. So then after the camp, I also started laughing, like, a lot. Like, I really could not stop laughing, which was really funny. And then after the camp, I thought that week would be, like, really good because, you know, that was, like, breakthrough. But it, like, wasn't. And then, like, on that Friday, I, like, wanted to cut my wrists, but I couldn't find a knife, which was good because, like, we have, like, a sharp knife, but I literally couldn't find it. So God was like, uh-uh, not today. Like, yeah. And then I went to youth on Friday, and then obviously I wasn't that good, so, like, I was pretending like I was. But then someone had, like, a vision for me, which she had, like, a long time ago, but she never, like, shared it with me. It was basically that I was, like, looking in the mirror, and I wasn't, like, unhappy, but I wasn't happy with what I saw. And then, like, Jesus was standing right there, but I was, like, looking at myself through the eyes of, like, other people. And then Jesus had to, like, take my head and, like, make me, like, look at him. And then I only saw, like, how he saw me. And that was, like, really cool, because obviously that was, like, exactly what I was feeling. And then that made things, like, so much better. Like, every time I felt like that, I would just think of that vision and, like, try to be like, where is Jesus right now? And, you know, like, focus on him. So, yeah, obviously, like, I've been feeling those thoughts for, like, a while, but, like, God has been, like, so great with, like, helping me and stuff, and, yeah, things are really better now, so, yeah.
Thanks, Yada. Sebastian.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so for me, it started 2 years ago. It was my first time I actually encountered God fully. So we had the youth thing in Wellington where all of the Josh Jane youths came together. And I think it was the second night. We were all worshiping and stuff. And I remember we just were quiet. And then we were talking about people having suicidal thoughts and stuff. And they had this prayer room where you could just go to whenever you felt like it. And I went there and I just started crying. And I remember that was the first time I felt God move inside of me physically. And so, yeah, that was amazing. And then, so 2 years went by. And then, like, a couple of months ago, I was like, man, that was amazing. I wish I could have that again because I felt like I was drifting a bit. And I knew the camp was coming up. So then as the camp came up, the second night, the Saturday night, Grant came to preach for us. And then, so we were all listening and stuff. But then they asked for the girls to move aside and for the guys to move in. I was like, okay, this is real. This is, like, now I can feel it's happening. So we all walked to the front. And then we start worshiping and stuff, and it's amazing. But then everything just, like, I feel like I'm alone, and everything around me just disappears. And I feel like I'm in a throne room. And I just feel, I don't look at him because I'm too afraid. Because I feel like I'm not worthy, and I just feel God standing there above me. And he's looking at me, so I fall to my knees, and I just start bawling my eyes out. And then I just kept telling my, like, saying to him, God, I'm not worthy. Like, I asked for your forgiveness, but I'm not worthy of it, God. And then, so for about half an hour, I just did that, bawling my eyes out and asking for forgiveness for my sins. And then after the worship and stuff, we went outside. And I just lay there at one stage. And I was just quiet. And I just felt God's wave of, like, forgiveness and grace and stuff wash over me. And I was just like, I felt exhausted. Like, I felt like I just had a spiritual battle within myself, and I felt like I had won. So, yeah.
All right. Who's next? Keita.
I'm going to share testimony about what happened to me at the youth camp this year. For about a year or so, I had just feelings of, like, rejection and hurt by people, and I just stopped feeling like myself, and I never felt like, yeah, I just stopped feeling like I fit in, and, yeah, it was really hard for me for the past year, and then the youth camp came up, and then, sorry, we all went on the youth camp, and then, yeah, and then Grant and Lorna came, and they were praying for us, and we're all just worshiping and giving our all to God. And then I felt God tell me to get on my knees and to surrender to him and to just give my all to him. But I was just like, no, I'm going to stay up here. And it just the whole time was telling me to get on my knees and surrender to him. But I was just being really stubborn. And I didn't, And then I actually felt God tell me, I was like, no, you actually need to get on your knees like right now. And then as I got on my knees, I just screamed like loud, like I've never screamed like that before. And then, I just, all those feelings of hurt and rejection just came back to me, and it was kind of like it was all bundled up in one, and I just felt it all at once, and I was, I was just like screaming and crying, and and then everyone went outside to go and worship under the stars, and I just stayed there on my knees. I was just crying and bawling my eyes out. I just stayed there. And then Grant came to pray for me, and he told me to stand up and pray like with him. And then I was just really, I didn't really feel like doing that at that time. I was just like, I can't do this right now. I feel too much hurt inside. And then Grant actually said, in the name of Jesus Christ, spirit of rejection, come out. And then I almost felt like a knock, and I fell backwards onto the couch, and I started gagging and just coughing, and like I just could feel something coming out of me, and it was almost like a feeling of relief. And God really came through on that with me. And I don't fully feel relieved of that, but it's almost like a weight has come off my shoulders. I feel a lot more free, just even in my normal day. Like, I feel like, I'm not conscious of being rejected again or being hurt again. Yeah, so that's just kind of what happened to me.
Loss, Kaylin.
So, for as long as I remember, I really didn't feel like I was accepted in any way. And I really just, I didn't like who I was. And I just, whenever I looked in the mirror, I was like, oh, no, I don't like her. And so I really wanted to be accepted by this one group at school, like the cool girls. And, I started hanging out with them more and more. And finally, I was part of the cool group, and, everyone liked me. And now that I look back, they were really not a good influence on me at all. And, I mean, they would swear almost in every sentence, and every now and again at school, an odd swear would pop up, and, I would carry on as normal. And then, Zan was coming to the high school the year after, and came with in his class to go check out the high school, and he really didn't, like, he got bad vibes. He really didn't want to go to the high school, and so he was set on the idea of moving schools. And I had never moved schools before. I've always been at Alcona for my whole school life. And I came with to the meeting to Fetch College, and I came with because I didn't want to stay at home by myself. And Zan was going to go for the day to Fellowship College to check it out. And I was like, maybe I'll just go with, just to, like, see. And I ended up really liking it. And I really felt this was the right thing to do. I moved to Fellowship College. And I think my other friend moved with me. And, I had her, and I only knew her, and she started hanging out with all these older boys, and I just tagged along, and then I didn't feel like it just didn't feel right, and so I started hanging out with this other group of girls, and they were like these good Christian girls, and I really felt like they accepted me for who I was. But then I realized that the problem was that I didn't accept myself. Like, I was the problem. And I just started burying myself inside me. Like, I'll be this other girl, because no one will like me. And then I got invited to youth, and I really enjoyed it. And I started going every Friday. And then the youth girls had a sleepover, and we were all going around in a circle and sharing something that the Lord has done in our lives. And I didn't really know what to say, so I just shared that, you know, I've really had like self-confident issues. Like I don't like myself. And I got prayed for, but nothing really happened after that, so it just carried on as normal. And then the youth camp happened, and everyone who went there will remember the night that Grant spoke, and he started speaking about like all these demons inside ourselves and the spirits that we let into us, my heart started racing, like it was crazy. Like I literally thought I was gonna have a heart attack. Like it never happened before, so I was like, well, something's gonna happen. And then the music started playing, and he was carried on speaking, and then he said, if just put your hands on your head and I'll pray for you. And I was like, no, that's too embarrassing. And the devil just fed me like these thoughts that I knew weren't true, but I believed them anyway. And so he came up to me and he was like, you know, just put your hands on your head. And then he started praying, and I was like, you're, and I started crying, and it was just so cool. And he prayed for me. And as he started praying, I just felt like something lifted out of me. And like the spirit left me. And for the first time that night, we were all worshiping outside. And for the first time that night, like, I was alone with God. Like, and I lifted my hands up for the first time, like, without caring what anyone else thought of me. And then we went home after camp, and I went straight to one of my brother's surf comps. And you know, if I was in that same situation before camp, I would be so intimidated by all these, you know, cool surfer people. But I wasn't. I just felt so comfortable with being me. And now, literally, I'm on this buzz since the camp. Like, I want to learn and like become closer with the Lord, because I'm comfortable with me being me. And y'all.
Really good to hear just what God's doing and the work that God does in their lives. And I thought I'd just clarify some things. If I was a parent hearing this, and Grant Baker, who is this guy? Like, I need to meet him because this sounds weird. Just want to say, I am the man. I'm Grant. I was there with Lorna. We went to go and teach and preach. And just to give you a little context, I was actually in Australia, and I felt the Lord saying to me, I want you to go to that camp. And I don't want you to do a long teach and preach. I want you to share for 15 to 20 minutes and then allow me to work in their lives. And so that's what we did. I must be honest, when I got there, I was looking at this bunch. They're a lovely bunch, but they were just, you know, it looked like normal teenagers. And I was thinking, I'm not sure if I really heard God. Like, I asked Lorna, do you want to teach? And she said, not a chance, you doing it. So in many ways, just from a practical perspective, they didn't look very hungry, you know, but God sees their hearts. And then bring a bit more clarity. So I just didn't feel to teach a lot or to do a whole, you know, what you shouldn't be doing as a Christian. Just to teach on God's love and God's passion for them. And then to bring this all into a landing, I really do believe in the confession of sin, to walk away from sin, to discipline your mind. And we just touched on the issue of deliverance. Just touched on it. I'm talking, I think, 1 minute. Because there's often, we as Westerners, we've got no real idea that actually we are fighting an unseen spiritual battle. So it wasn't even a teaching. I just touched on it. And I said, those who feel like they're fighting a battle that's more than just your thoughts, I want you to be open to what God wants to do. It's incredible what happened. It was just like a move of God's Spirit. And God doing things that we couldn't do in 10 hours of counseling. I'm married to psychologists, so we know what it takes to move the mind and to shift the heart. But God doing incredible things and being their salvation and showing them a different way. So I really want to say that we played a very small part in it. we just Cunningham shared for 10, 15 minutes, and we ended up praying for people for 2 or 3 hours, but it was just incredible to see how God worked with you. And I've got a sneaky suspicion that next year the Lord's going to move in the schools, and we're really going to see a great reconciliation amongst children or teenagers and their parents. I've got two daughters, teenage daughters, so I know what it is to work with their hearts, and for a dad that's not perfect. It's quite a journey to be a parent, to be a teenager in a home where the dad's not that perfect and with parents. So we really are trusting. I'm even thinking of our brothers on the road, the Baptist Church. I know Lucas. And just to see God do something in our community in Melkbos. So we're part of the puzzle. I'm very excited about this. And I wanted to give you some clarities. Is that good enough for you? Yeah. Great.
Josh, you can come so long. I'm really, really inspired by the youth this year. I mean, for them just willing to come share to us these amazing things. I mean, we can't convince them like, hey, what, you're making this up. They are so convinced, they just want to share it. And that's amazing how God moves in us. It's not something we can make up. They didn't make up these stories just to come tell it in front of a crowd. They literally are convinced of something and they want to share it with us. And I'm so inspired and I'm so proud of the youth. Really, me and the leaders, we are so amped and we're looking forward to what God has in store. And yeah, all glory to God. And yeah, we have this man of faith. that's also going to dig deep. Yo, you guys came out, go sit. Thanks, guys. So, Josh.
Yo, it's good to be back in the front, eh? Yo. Yo, just isn't our God good? Yo, it's just so crazy to see what he's doing in and amongst us as youthies and as a church. And yo, it's just so cool to just experience his love. Yo, like, as you could hear, all these testimonies that us youthies have shared and stuff, it's just so cool to see there's like one common aspect in every single one, and it's experiencing God's love, like God's love and acceptance of ourselves and knowing that God accepts us for who we are. And I think that's pretty much the best person we can be accepted by, to be honest. God is good. Yeah. I just find it so amazing as well just to see that we're just such a small fraction of this universe, yet God chooses to love us. And he doesn't just love us, he loves us so unconditionally. Loves us without ends, without borders, just because he's such a good God. Yeah. Yeah, so it's crazy. Like, he loves us so much that he would send his only son to come to this earth to live and to die on the cross for us, to take our sins and carry them on the cross to die for us. Yeah, as it says in John 3:16, and sorry, I didn't give it to you. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And sure, I mean, I want eternal life. I'm not sure about you, but yeah. But yeah, and then in verse 17, it also says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." And he wants to save us, and he wants to save us because he loves us. Like, yo, God is so good. and it's quite crazy because God didn't have to save us. I mean, after all, we're just wicked beings without him, technically. But he chose to come to this world and to love us so much. He's a loving God. and even through our wickedness, he loves us, which is so crazy. And like John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, that whoever believes in him," all we need to just do is believe that God came and died for our sins, and we'll be saved, we won't perish but have eternal life. And I mean, God wants to be with us for eternity. He loves us, like I've said like thousands of times. He loves us. God's a loving God. And he wants us to glorify him in every way we can. And I mean, is it just me, or like, I would glorify someone that's practically just saved me from, if I'm going to be blatant, the eternal pit of hell. Like, yeah, sure. Your God is so good. Yeah, and it's just crazy. He says that we just need to believe that he was sent and died for us on the cross and we'll be saved. Yeah. And there's so much proof about that in the Bible if you just read and read. And I mean, there's so much more evidence. In fact, the reason we are alive or we are still alive today is evidence that God came and died for our sins. And I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and it's so much evidence of his all-conquering, pure, never-ending, unconditional love. Love without borders, like I was saying. So, just with that, I just want to close with saying, if you haven't ever given your life to God, or if you have and you want to come back to God, and just, if you've never experienced the love of God as all of us have been sharing today, it's just, with that, if you want to experience the love of God, and if you haven't accepted God into your life anymore, or before, would you just like to raise your hand and we'd like to pray with you this morning? Awesome. And if you have already accepted the Lord, but you want to come back to the Lord as you're not so strong anymore, or you think you're not, and you just really want to just give God the glory about life, Lord. So Jesus, we just want to thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us, Lord Jesus. We want to lift your name up, Lord. We didn't deserve you, God, and Jesus, you just love us unconditionally, Lord, and we just want to thank you, God, for that. And we lift up your name, Lord Jesus. We glorify you, Lord Jesus, and help us to glorify you, Lord Jesus. And just thank you, Lord. Amen.
Cool. That was amazing. I just don't want us to miss what the Lord is doing here. Can I ask all of us to stand quickly? Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And